18, verses 7 to 11. Here is what God says about his commands. They correct us. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, more than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey out of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. Got that? By them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward or great success. You see, God wants us to know that one of the other purposes of the commandments of God is that they correct us. I hope every parent that's here this morning that has children still living at home, if you're a parent and you have children at home, would you stand just for a moment? If you have, that's so that you know who you are. If you're a parent and you have children at home and don't want them at home, sit down. No. All right, stand up for a moment. Are your parents with children at home? Okay, you may sit down. I hope you have a list of commands beyond the Ten Commandments for your children. They need structure. They need correction. My son was a little mischievous guy. His heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, just like his mom's. Just like his dad. And we had certain rules of things, and we had to keep making up new rules because he kept breaking things we never even thought of. When he was real young, he loved to fool around with the electrical sockets. You know, Dad has a screwdriver, and he saw Dad messing with that thing with a screwdriver, so take the screwdriver and shove it into the outlet. Now, don't do this at home. Why do we have a rule about that? Andrew, you don't do that because it's going to knock you on your fanny. Will it really? And so the child, being mischievous, says, I don't think Dad's just trying to keep me from having fun. So he takes the screwdriver and he puts it in there and it goes, BAM! It blows out of his hand, leaves sparks all over. He comes in with his hair standing up on end and says, Dad! You never want to put a screwdriver into one of those sockets. See, the law of God is to correct us. God wants us to know that there are things we, if we do them, they will hurt us. They will destroy our lives. They'll bring about chaos and destruction and humiliation and regrets that will last a lifetime. Therefore, he gives us the Ten Commandments. And in Psalms, David says, I delight in the law of God. I love the law of God. It's what keeps me corrected. It keeps me going straight. And I love it. It's better than money. It's better than sweet honey. As I was preparing for this message, I took those Ten Commandments and I looked at them again and said, Lord, I love your commandments. I want to rejoice in these and I want to stand in front of them and know that I've fallen short, but I want to love them because they are what corrects me and keeps me in line. The third thing that we need to know about the Ten Commandments and the purpose of the commandments is that they're there to protect us, not only to correct us, but to protect us. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. I know you can't find it, so start in the beginning of your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. If you've never found it before, you need to find it this morning because this passage needs to be marked in your Bible. And I want you to look to the person next to you and see if their Bible is marked in that passage, and if it is not, will you slap them on the hands? No. We'll have a brawl. I want you to take some time, even today, if you don't like to mark it quickly here because you might do squiggly lines. I want you to take some time to mark this because it's essential for the people of God. It's about the law of God coming to the people of Israel. God says, Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Where do we hear that? We usually hear that in the New Testament. We think that's the New Testament kind of overrides the commands of God. No, it doesn't. Jesus said it fulfills the command of God. It's in the Old Testament as well. We're on verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Did you get all that? It needs to be underlined. We're to be talking to our children about these commands every day. You know, there's a problem with our society. We have come to believe that parents ought to be their children's best friend. Well, that might sound good, but until you're your kid's best enemy, you can't be their best friend. You see, you need to be harping on some things. They need a parent and an authority figure that represents God's law over them. And yeah, they're going to get mad at you. That's okay. You got mad at your parents, right? And you survived. Well, maybe. But they're there to correct us, but they're also there to protect us. And so God says, harp on these things. Verse 8, and you shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets to your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Yeah, we don't live in the Old Testament, but there's some good advice there for all of us. God says these commands ought to be in your heart so much so that when you sit down with your kids at the table, you talk about it. When you go to bed at night, you talk to them about the Ten Commandments, about stealing, about lying, about cheating, about immoral use of their bodies. We call it commit adultery, but they don't know what that means yet. All of these things ought to be reviewed on a regular basis so our kids grow up knowing the protection that God has for them. See, God wasn't punishing his people with the commands. He was protecting them. Later on, he says, I've given you these commands so that I don't have to put on you any of the plagues that I put on the Egyptians. And so that you might live and be prosperous and your way be set before you the way God intended. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus reiterates this. It's the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is finishing the sermon because people were going, is he done yet? He told the story of building your house on a rock. He said, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine, which expound the commands of God and fulfill them, whoever hears these commands of mine and does them, I will liken unto him to a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. Do you remember what comes to my mind as I read that? Do you remember? Anybody 50 years old probably remembers. The wise man built his house upon the rock. If you remember it, do this. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. And the rains came down, and the floods came up. The rains came down, and the floods came up. The rains came down, and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. Now, we're not going to sing the rest of it. You'll have to go to Sunday school for that. But I'm glad to see some of you got some foundational truths in your Sunday school classes or in your home. Because those are the things that protect us. Jesus said these commands of mine are not to hurt you or harm you. They are to protect you and to keep you in all your ways so that you might have great success in your life. Lastly, these commands exist for the purpose of giving us direction and blessing. They direct and bless us. Joshua 1:8. Bible's up. Find it. Deuteronomy, Joshua is the very next one. Chapter 1 and verse 8. God commands this command for all time. I'm glad for my Sunday school teachers and my Awana, or back then it was Jet Cadets, that made me memorize this. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Wow! God didn't need some writer to author a book on the seven ways of success. He said, I've given you the way of success. This book, these commands of mine shall be in your heart. You'll meditate on them. You'll think on them. You'll obey them. And as you do so, you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. I didn't write that. That's not the gospel according to Dick LaFountain. That's the gospel according to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you build your house on the sand, it will collapse. If you build it on the rock, it will direct your path and bring you prosperity and blessing in all ways. Lastly, Proverbs chapter 3, and I know you're probably exhausted from running to and fro in the Bible, but that's okay. It's a good exercise. Proverbs chapter 3, it's in the middle of your Bible right after Psalms. Proverbs chapter 3, the wisdom of Solomon is being passed on to his son and to his son's sons and to all of us who have ears to hear. And he says this, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will what? Direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it will be health to your flesh, to your body, and strength to your bones. And all God's people said, amen, Lord. Make it so with me. This morning, I want to challenge you to take seriously the commands of God and begin to bring them into your heart and life. If you've had them there before, but you've kind of gotten rusty, we all do, we forget, begin reviewing and rememorizing. Use it as a tool for your family. If you're a college student, use it in your dorm and memorize it together. Challenge each other, and the $50 offer ends at the end of my sermon. But get it right so that your way may be prosperous. What are these commandments? Let's read them together. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And with God as my witness, I want us to do that together every Sunday morning that we preach on this passage, that we make our way prosperous by remembering and meditating and obeying the commands of God. Last question. Where's your compass? What guides your life? What keeps it true to the Lord? What keeps you focused on true righteousness and holiness? God wants us to look to his word and find our help. In a moment, we're going to serve our communion service, and I know the hour's late, but if you have to leave, you're welcome to leave while we begin our communion service. But we invite you to stay, and the communion stewards are going to prepare themselves right now, and after I pray, we'll come forward and serve communion to you. But I invite you to bow your hearts with me right now and just prepare your heart for the Lord's table. And ask the Lord to search the heart. Ask him to show you your ways and where you might have broken his commands, that you might run to Jesus and ask for his blood to be applied and wash away that sin. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Lord Jesus, we have reviewed your great commands, and we want to love you first of all, with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, without pretending. Forgive us when we're cheating on you. And we want to love our neighbor as ourselves and respect and honor them in the same way, beginning with our parents, down to our brothers and sisters and neighbors and friends and colleagues at work, that we will be people of integrity and holiness. Cleanse us from cheating on that. Prepare us now, Lord, to come again to the throne of grace to receive mercy and help, and at the communion table to renew our covenant before you and refresh our souls with a fresh cleansing of the blood of Jesus. We ask in Jesus' name.